Hi guys, as you know, my name is Aisha Bailey. I've got a beautiful guest here who I haven't known for long, but you know when you gravitate to somebody and you know. She's a lovely lady, very genuine, and I've met her in a course that we are doing, and her name is Claire. I'm not going to tell you too much about Claire because I want her to tell you a bit about her because she is so fabulous. She is absolutely a diamond. I want you to congratulate her. Ooh, I will. Right, Claire, come on, it's all about you.
All about me now. Well, thank you, Aisha. It's lovely to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Okay.
So why did we gravitate towards each other? How is it that there is a radar for send mums of wonderful send children?
Very true.
So as Aisha said, we met, we're both on a course together at the moment. How to take ourselves forward with work. So that may be another podcast. I have a wonderful son, but I'm a mum through adoption.
Excellent.
Which is interesting, as many people will know if they have anything to do with this side of life. And over the years, it's become apparent that our son has a lot of additional needs, that he needs a lot of help and care and support so we can help him heal from his trauma.
Do you know what one thing is, Claire? Did you know that he had these things before you adopted him, or did you not? Was it a process?
We had some idea. We had a pretty good idea about his background.
Okay.
These days, there's quite often a lot of information that comes out. He was an older child. He was considered an older child.
Okay.
And a lot of children these days, I think, perhaps are older than most people would think. There's a picture of it. It's babies and that sort of thing. There still are. The average age of children placed for adoption is a lot older. So they come with a lot of life experience with birth families, and they've been through an awful lot. So we knew a certain amount, but then it's not just what we knew at the time, but it's what comes out once they're placed in a family that's going to be theirs. It's going to be theirs for growing up and for a long time, and that in turn can open up the brain to let everything out.
Yeah. Do you feel, if you could turn back the time, you would have got a send child? Because obviously you've got a choice, where I didn't have a choice.
Well, really, actually you don't, because you don't know. A lot of these things aren't known at the time. So as with having a biological child, it evolves, it develops, it becomes apparent as to what is this, exactly what is it. So that side of the journey, I would guess is similar in that it all comes out over time. The nature of what it is, it could be the similar, it could be ADHD, it could be autism, it could be something that's connected with the trauma, which is what's happening in our case.
It isn't easy. And sometimes as a parent, you sometimes feel like, was it my fault it happened, or am I doing too much for making to try and be normal? Are the school helping? Am I telling the school, are they doing enough? Which I feel like it plays a big part, because they spend the majority of time at the school. What could you feel could help mothers, as me as well, with a send child? Because it can be quite daunting and hard.
I think something that we hear a lot, we work with a lot of professionals, and the first thing, and it's easier said than done, is the whole self-care. I know. And it's because we're so busy, just in life generally. It often falls to women, not always, so often falls to women. We are the majority of carers in whatever regard. And then I've got to be honest, it's challenging. People assume, oh, well, you love the child, so that's enough. Actually, and there are a lot of times when love is not enough.
It's not enough.
It's not enough. And it's very practical, a lot of practical skills. People who have the practical skills out there, it's getting access. I don't know about you, it's finding who are the appropriate people, finding what's out there, being able to access it. It's feeling so often that you're the only one, you know you're not, but especially once, so for example, our son is in mainstream school. I know there are other children with special needs there. Are there children in his position? There might be, there might not be, I don't know, but obviously our school is now doing a fantastic thing. We have a new Senko. She's brilliant. And they're putting together a send group for parents. So you don't have to join it, but if you'd like to join it, then they're going to have meetings once a term. So even that sense of occasionally coming together with somebody else, your experience on a day-to-day basis may be different, child's needs may be different, but simply someone sitting here in this room with you now, knowing that there are so many things we will understand.
I think that's absolutely amazing, because sometimes I felt like I was lonely. You feel like you're doing this all by yourself. You've got psychologists telling you this, you've got this telling you that, you've got the educational health plan, and all they're doing is telling you about your child's not doing this, your child's not that, your child's not to this level, your child's not ticking this box, your child.
Yeah.
To make you feel like, oh my gosh, I've got so much wrong things wrong with my child. Is there anything right with my child?
Yes.
You know?
And we lose, it's easy to lose sight of that. And it's, okay, two other things. Isolation. Isolation, loneliness, we know that's a big problem in society generally, and all those different factors that can add to that. And the other thing would be overwhelm, because it's challenging being a parent anyway. There's so many, and especially at the moment, so many challenges. You know, today we sit here and inflation hit a 40-time high. It's the life, the everyday practicalities of life that impacts on. People doing that. Well, and again, this whole thing, what is best? Doing the best for our children. Well, what is the best? Isn't it really simple at the end of the day that it's they grow up feeling okay about themselves, that they're comfortable, at ease, emotionally healthy, hopefully physically healthy, and then we go from there.
Very
and
true.
Everything else is a bonus. And other people's tick lists and where children should be, so much first. And I have a great deal of empathy for schools, and it feels so much, there's so much tick list, a bit of a sausage factory, which is not of their doing, it is not of their making. There is so much that is set from the outside, so much they do not have any discretion over what they're doing or how they're measuring it. And then trying to bring a child and fit that into that, it's like you're trying to lever the old square peg into a round hole. It just doesn't fit.
I love how you said that.
And it's a challenge, because then our children, who so often feel rubbish about themselves anyway, are made to feel even worse about themselves with what the messages are that they are getting from around them, from completely unwittingly from staff, or if they're seeing other children doing better and feeling like a failure. And you're right, how often, you know me, I'll go into big picture stuff.
I love that.
The whole thing of, I get so frustrated at times that generally in society it feels as if we're a very problem-focused kind of country, or we're very good at finding a problem and focusing on it. But we're not always great at solutions. And we get so fixated on the problem. I come from a family of engineers. I'm not an engineer, but I'm surrounded by them. And they're great. I love engineers. They're great people. They're all about solution. It's not about fixing. It's not about changing our children. It's not about making them different. It's making them the best version of them.
Right.
And that other people would see as a hindrance, as all the rest of it. It's kind of, we can turn it. It's like the whole thing, reframe, constantly reframing. Okay, that's not your great skill. Actually, you're much better at this than other children. You find this easier. You know, my husband, he doesn't mind me talking about this. He has very severe dyslexia.
He happens
to be a brilliant engineer. Now, you ask him to read a manual about how to repair that aircraft, and it'll be, well, I'm really going to find that difficult. You stick him at the aircraft, and because of the way his brain is wired up, he looks at this in fantastic 3D, can see what the problem is, and doesn't understand why other people can't see it just like him. Now, that's a gift. The fact he can't read the book is the hindrance.
True.
The gift is it makes him a brilliant engineer. And it's not rose-tinted. This isn't naive. When I talk about solutions, it isn't naive. I see it as the exact opposite. I see it as being incredibly practical. Let's look at how we can help and make you the best version. I don't know what you find, but a word we try not to use in our house is change, getting our son to change. He's not changing. What he is doing, and it's just brilliant way of talking by one of our therapists, is about revealing. Ooh. It's about revealing who is there. Who is he? Who is he underneath all this rubbish he's acquired from other people because of their difficulties? Who is it who's in there? Let's reveal. Let's find you. Let's find who your son is.
That's good.
Let's go find those butterflies who are waiting to come out.
I love that. Because I was going to say revolving, but revealing, that's brilliant. That's taking all the layers off and starting from scratch. Love that.
It's in there. They're not changing. They're not changing. Because how many of us as adults would want to be asked to change? Because implicitly there is within that, oh, so there's something wrong. If you ask me to change, there's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. What's wrong with me? Nothing. So no, I'm not going to change. And then I would put up the barrel. I know my feet would go in. Stubborn, me. the barriers would go up. Why would we want to? Somebody turns around, rewords it, reframes it. Let's reveal who you are. Let's find out who you are. It's like, oh, now, hang on, I can work with that. Oh, I like that idea.
I love that. Do you know what? I mean, for me, as a woman with a Sen chart, do you find it hard to still have a career? Do you think it's not? Do you think it's possible?
I do.
Okay.
And we are going to make our own.
Yes,
we. And I think our resilience and fortitude. And funny you say that, because I mentioned to my son this morning about what Mummy is planning on doing.
Excellent.
And he was the smiliest and huggiest about it. He loves the idea. Whereas, practicalities are. Before coming in and talking to you today, I've spent the morning finding reports, finding info, finding details to pass on because it's needed. It's all positive and it will be useful. But the practicalities of the practicality of time consuming, how many experts are you seeing this week? How many telephone calls have you got to make? How many emails have you got to make? How much follow-up is there? How much being the parent, of course, it's our job, is the overall, I've got to coordinate it. I've got to make sure this is happening. Mm-hmm. Without trying to be a perfectionist, kind of, this has got to happen tomorrow. Just a practical, well, if I don't nudge these people, if I don't remind them, it's not going to happen. It is so time consuming. And then there's also the emotional side, because of the nature of our son's needs and his behaviours, it is physically and emotionally exhausting. It is absolutely exhausting.
Do you know what? Some mums won't. I know some mums who have got Sen Chart and they just leave their kids to it. They just leave them to it, so they don't know the extent of how hard it is, because they just leave them to it and they just do what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wonder why their kids the way they are, because they don't give them that attention.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Do you know what I mean? It's all about them, not about the child.
Yeah.
It's for me, I find it very exhausting. That's why I've had to go into the position I wanted to do, because to make it about him, make him involved as well, and show him that it's not about what people think and how you're supposed to fit in or how society says. We do what's best for us and what's best for you. Do you know that kind of thing?
I love that you've just said us.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point, and that's how we see it, is it's about we the family. Never mind the American, was it we the people? For us, it is absolutely. And again, another brilliant professional we work with who really, wow, it's a light bulb moment when he's talking about actually it's all about we the family. If it doesn't work for one person in, it's not that person's problem. It's we are. Again, in this country, relationships, we struggle with them. We're not very good at them individually as a group. And it is all about what you're doing and what we're. It's obvious what you're doing and what we're doing. It's about we the family. And it's not about it making him better. It's about helping your son to who is he? How are we going to find? How are we going to find out who you are in there? Who are you? This is fun. It's hard work. It's exhausting and all the rest of it. But just as it is with any parent, and to me it shows a huge commitment as a parent, it's like, who are you? Who's in there? Let's go find it. How are we going to do this together? We're here to help you. We are a unit. We're a team. It doesn't matter how big that team is. It could be a great big family. It could be a one adult, one child family. It doesn't matter the size of it. It doesn't matter who's in it. That's irrelevant. It's not about the nuclear, a mummy, a daddy and dad of many kids. It's not that. It's who do you consider family? Who's your group? Who is your group, and what are we going to do? And find that when you really focus on that we, it becomes easier to actually start filtering out the other noise that's going on outside, because as you say, it's yes, of course, we have to get on in society and work in society and meet certain needs and all the rest of it. It also allows us to go, hang on, what's our place here?
Yeah,
our
yeah.
place is just as important as anybody else's place. And at times, don't about you, it's very easy to be knocked off course by that because, shall we get on to the whole other people and other people's views about us and our children?
Definitely.
Is a whole other podcast in its own right.
It's definitely true.
Yeah. Other people who think it's okay to go around telling you how to parent your child with special needs when they know the child has special needs and in our case know he's adopted, yet think it's absolutely fine to come up and basically tell me how I should be a parent.
They would
Yet if I would do this, I just wouldn't dream of it. It's kind of...
It's rude.
It's just rude, yes. There you go. But no, not if you've got a particular child with particular behaviours or whatever. It's not...
Because
you may not agree, that's fine. It's not about agreeing all the time, it isn't. It's simply, as you say, rude? Do we do that?
Yeah. Nah. And even just because you're adopted doesn't mean you don't know. Because when we have a child, we don't know. There's no manual.
No,
but let's go to page 7.
Yes.
when he's behaving bad, so
yeah. No. Exactly. What's all at the root cause? What is it? There's always something prompting it.
Yeah.
You know, when people are saying, oh, there was absolutely no need for that behaviour, you're thinking there's always a need. Whether we, I always think, especially for our children, as parents, so much I see it as a case of we're interpreters, we're translators. What is going on in their world? What are they seeing in our world?
Mm.
How do we interpret this world for them?
Mm.
Have to translate it and then have to go into their world to help them
understand it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
because my son at the moment, he's got this, he loves teddy bears and he's in this whole imaginary friends in the back of the car. And I'm like, he's like, well, who's there today? And I'm like, well, you tell me who's there today. And then we have to pretend he's there and we have to strap nobody in there. But for them, I love that innocence, you know, that being a child kind of, I love that. And I don't want him to grow out of that. But then sometimes I'm like, he's so soft and caring. I feel like, is the world ready for my son? Because this world is so horrible. Do you know what I mean?
And he clearly will grow into a wonderful young man.
I hope so.
We need young men like this in the world.
Mm.
And I feel particularly, we both have boys, and it's the challenge, just in general with society, here you go, and another chat about that one, about how do we bring up boys and young men these days? What are we expecting them to be? What do we want our young men to be?
True.
They have so much of a bad reputation all the time.
True.
And I said, we're the adults. What are we doing to them? How are we bringing them up? What messages are we giving them about who they are?
Mm.
We know the brain responds. It physically responds to, if you receive a particular message all the time, then that is what we believe. And it is if it is negative, we create the problem and then blame them for it.
Yeah.
And seeing that, and I find it really tricky as well, being, because I'm an older mum, it's what I remember from my childhood and what I see in my son and hear from you is that actually this is age-appropriate stuff. This is what I'd be expecting of children that age. And I find it really sad what I see in a lot of other children, the level that they're at, what they're playing, what they're doing, games they're playing, things they're watching that are not age-appropriate anyway.
Very true.
They're not age-appropriate. And the big problem is that they're not, simply because they're doing it, or parents are saying, well, they all want to play it, they all play it, let's... It's like, hang on a minute, they're not actually emotionally ready. They are
That's not right. Emotionally ready for it.
Okay, they'll physically do it and they'll play the game and all the rest. And if they're playing that at that age, everything gets wired up. We are constantly wiring up our brain at that age.
Subconsciously. We are,
yes,
without knowing about it.
Absolutely.
Even if you watch a horror film, it's not the horror. We have fear elements.
Yeah.
That makes us scared. And sometimes you don't want to sleep because you think, oh my gosh, that ghost and stuff. And it replays in your mind automatically. So these kids playing all these killing stuff, you're programming their mind to think it's acceptable to do that.
It's one thing for an adult with a fully formed brain who knows what they're doing, knows what they're watching, and occasionally to stick a bit of fear in that we can manage because we can see the difference between the screen. We know that however fearful we are with jumping and all the rest of it, take a bit of fun out of it. it's okay, because then we return, we leave that alone, we finish the film, we put it away, and we return to
reality.
Back to reality.
Yeah, definitely.
When you are growing up with that, how do you separate out what is reality and what is, isn't?
You don't.
And then, yeah, exactly. And if you're seeing it on screen, if you're surrounded by that, and you think that is okay, then you think in your physical, real life that that's also okay.
Yeah.
So I don't worry about what he's doing, and if other people think it's a bit young, I just think he's fine. He'll grow. And again, there's no rule book. There's no rule book, like you say.
There's no rule book.
Years ago, used to have a satty job in Halfords. We'd sell, I can't remember what they're called. There were car manuals that you'd sell.
Gosh.
And like you said, there's no manual for this. There's a general, okay, would you be looking at a child be walking or crawling at certain age? Just generally.
Yeah.
And I think we can get too het up by, and the success of, oh, they did it early. Actually doing stuff early isn't actually always a good or healthy thing.
Yeah.
But we're so geared up to gotta be the first, gotta have a kid who's doing that. It's like, and if yours is the one who's like, oh, well, they might do it, then again, they might never do it. It's not about being complacent about it. It's about, okay, how do we help them with that? What is right? What are their needs?
Mm.
What is that's good for them, healthy for them?
And that's a good point, because nobody really knows. Even people come back to saying, oh, food, the food isn't good for them. You know, food starts off this, and food and that, and this and that. What do you want me to do? Get my own allotment? We can't. Yeah. We don't know how the food's not the same like it was back in the day.
Mm.
There is more things happening now, and ADHD and all that. Is it that it's the food, or that we're just more alert to what's going on in the world now?
Exactly. And it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because there's a balance between, it's great to have more information. I'm a firm believer. Knowledge is power. Absolutely.
Yep, definitely.
Absolutely. At the same time, we go back to overwhelm. There is overwhelm as to, well, I'm doing that, but I'm not doing that. And it's so hard. Sometimes it's that seeing the wood for the trees again. And it's kind of just, right, let's shut all that down. Today, have I provided my child with food? Yes. Has my child eaten? Yes.
Mm.
And even then, well, maybe days, depending on the child's development, they don't fancy food.
That's right.
As long as they are eating enough, as long as they're growing and they're developing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those where we put pressures on ourselves, our children pick up the pressure too.
Very true. It's all about energy as well.
Yeah.
Definitely. If I go in the car and I'm like in a bad mood, you okay? They can sense I'm not. Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. No, you're not. You've been crying. How do you know?
Because they learn to be hypervigilant.
Very true. Very true.
We. No, not they. We. Okay. We. Because we were all children.
Yeah.
You know, that whole... It's not an us and them. They, the children.
Yeah.
And us, the grown-ups. We were... there's another big thing. It's the whole, we all take through our own life experiences, and we put that onto our children, our expectations, the expectations that were around us, and what we then, most of the time, unconsciously put onto our children. And until, for some reason, that's something true. Happens to make us stop and consider and look at ourselves, what do we think? Why am I doing this? Why am I thinking this? Why do I have this particular way of dealing with behaviours? But most of the time, we parent unconsciously. We don't think about what we're doing most of the time.
No, we don't.
And I would see that when something happens, there's the challenge and the overwhelm and all the rest of it. On the other hand, the positive is I look at it and I think all the things, and I guess you have too, that I've learnt through being a parent this way.
Definitely.
It's like, well, crikey, I feel actually a lot better equipped. I've got a better understanding of his development, of child development generally, of, well, yes, in a way that, crikey, if I was trying to do this without this level of knowledge, I'd be...
You can't do this textbook. You can have a PhD, DHD. You can't. You don't get it.
Yeah.
You've got to have to live it to understand it, I feel. Because you can tick boxes. You'd be like them. You don't live through the experience. And there's nothing better than living through an experience to understand a child, I feel, anyway. It's like, for example, as well, when you're saying about certain things that children should do, my son's still in my bed. And I'm like, because he's got separation anxiety. And even when I go to the toilet, he's like, Mum, are you there? Where are you going? I'm just going to the toilet. But in a way, I feel a bit sad and a bit happy that we've got each other,
mm-hmm.
and that we trust each other to that extent in learning sleep with me or someone he cares about, yeah. because of our energy. And, you know, we don't, these kids are got superpowers, mate. They're the new breed. You can call it what you want. You know, they've got this wrong with them, that wrong with them. But if you open up their brain, some of these kids who've got ADHD and autism, you give them something that they can do, like piano, and they grasp it. They're gone with the wind, mate. They're fabulous children.
And this is the thing, because there's nothing wrong with them.
There's nothing.
Listen, we've been talking about this beforehand. Yeah. They're simply being human. They are simply being human. We come in all sorts of varieties, shapes, sizes. This is the most fantastic, extraordinary thing that there was. 6-7 billion people out there, and other than a few identical twins or whatever, there isn't a single other person out there who is like us. That's just extraordinary. It's extraordinary. Wonderful. That is what is wonderful. Absolutely brilliant. It is other people who would say that there's something wrong. What is wrong? And when people say different to what? If you're talking about different, you've got to have a comparison. Different to what?
Yeah.
You have a room full of children with ADHD and you walk in and you don't have it. You're the odd one out.
So you're the odd one out.
Something wrong with you? You haven't got it. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's always about, but that's really hard to have to keep holding on to those ideas. There is nothing wrong with any of us. We are simply being human. There isn't a single perfect person on this planet. I'm just racking my brains trying to think. Yes, I'm just, no, can't quite think of some. Not even George Clooney. No, it's not quite, there just isn't. There just isn't a single, and it's all different ways of being imperfect.
Yeah.
And when we look at it like that, it takes the pressure off.
It does.
It takes the pressure off. And I always love it when I'm around people, especially professionals, who have this sense of, it's basically like creating a harbour. They stick their arms out and they're creating a harbour. It's like everything's okay in there. We were saying before about the whole water off a duck's back. We've got this. It's no big deal. It's no big effort. And when you are around people like that, and when children full stop are around people like that, we all adults, children, we all feel at ease when we are around people who are like, okay, no, I don't need to know what I'm doing. I don't, how many times do we? But I can give it a go. I'll give it my best shot. We'll see what happens. And sometimes the too controlling, too perfectionist, it's like squeezing a balloon.
Yeah, it is.
You squeeze it one way too much to try and get something to stop or change. You're just squeezing it all down the other end. You make it burst. You make it worse.
Do you know what? I feel like having a Sen Chan makes you more unstoppable. For me anyway, my son is my inspiration. It makes me unstoppable. It makes me feel like, no, I can do this for my son. I want to leave something for my son. I want to do so many things for him. You know, when I see him, I think he doesn't know what he brings to me, which is amazing. Only I know what he brings to me.
Yeah, that sense of walking over hot coals or fighting like an alley cat. Yeah. No, I never knew I had that in me. Don't get in my way.
Yeah.
Yes. And equally, it's a kind of, even more kind of feeling that for our children individually, but also a huge sense of feeling that about children, full stop. Just, I happen to know we're both governors at schools. Yeah. And it's this sense of, I don't need to know the children at the school. I don't. It's not where my son goes. But my goodness, if it wouldn't be good enough for my son, it isn't good enough for any one of those children there. And I look out the door here and any child walking past, it isn't good enough. It isn't good enough. We can and should do better. We can and we should be kinder to our children. We're not a very kind bunch, I don't think.
Nah.
We got a lot of Victorian hangovers. We have, and it just, this excitement. We're in the 21st century. We're a fifth of the way through the 21st century. And if we haven't worked out as human beings that what is best for me, being selfish,
True.
Completely selfish, is actually what benefits you and the people out there. And if we all sort of help each other out a bit, then that means that I get to do my best and get, you know, it's, but it is, but we all think, that this getting our best and what we want and all the rest of it is about fighting all over other people. We need a bit of competition. Of course we do. What we need, because that moves things on and it improves things, so competition can be is essential. It's great.
Yeah, but you want good competition.
Exactly.
You want good competition. You don't want people that's just envying you for nothing. You want good competition that's going to level you up, not get you in debt.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
it's that healthy comp, like you say, it's that kind of, it's being excited for the child who is the really fast runner in the class.
That's right.
And of course we feel upset if we don't beat them and they beat us. And then we turn around and it's like, hang on a minute, let's give it 15 years. Do you think we might see them at the Olympics and be standing there cheering, going, I know them, I was at school with
them.
Right. Because then hopefully in turn they'll turn around and go, you're that really good drummer. And when you're 15, 20 years time for you, I'll be asking for the tickets and the free backstage pass. And that's not a threat. It's not a threat
to each other.
It's about, I want you to win and be the best at what you're doing. And I want you to be the best at what
you're doing. That's right. We don't get that in adults. Adults, I feel like they drag you down. They don't want to really reward you for what you've done.
It's fear.
Is that what it is?
Fear, I reckon.
Yeah.
We are afraid of what, well, again, with our children and outside, it's we fear what we don't know. It's a natural response. It's a completely natural response. Having the fear is natural. That's okay. How we respond to that and how we act on that, that's where I can have a problem with.
Mm.
Okay, don't expect you to know. Of course you can't. We can't all know everything about humans.
Mm.
How we respond to that, what I know and I don't know, is what we can control.
Mm.
And we were talking earlier about what's rude. Is that a rude? Would I do that? No, that's rude. Okay. I don't expect you to know, and I'm not going to know everything about you. I can control and choose how I respond to you and how I behave towards you.
True.
And that is the most basic and simple of human dignity and decency.
You'd be surprised, not a lot of people know.
No, I know. I didn't check before I came out. I think they're still in the dictionary, but they might have dropped out recently. I don't know.
People don't think like that anymore. Like, even manners, you know, you're lucky to get thank you and, you know, how are you? These are things that people don't really ask about anymore. So it's sad, but everyone seems to be living in their own world, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Very selfish people. You can get the odd nice ones, but a lot of people are all about them than anybody else, you know? If that makes sense.
Yeah. Sitting here talking about our children. But hopefully at the same time, it's kind of, we can sit and talk about
our podcast.
Well, it is. You can do what you want. No, someone is in charge. At the moment, this room seemed to be the universe. But it is. It's having that time. There's a time and a space for all of it.
Mm.
This time is time, to be talking about our children. Mm-hmm. And then another part of the day, it'll be time to be looking outwards.
That's right.
And this is the whole thing. It's not always about the one thing. It's about, and there will be the time when it's about your son, and there should, self-care, be time when it's about you.
Mm.
Either you as mummy, you as the intelligent woman, and what she's going to do with her life and her career, work-wise.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and it's really, really hard. And it, because we get so overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
We get so overwhelmed by everything else that carving out those bits of time, we all only have 24 hours in a day.
We do. And what we do with it depends on how we better ourselves or don't.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And again, it's that, again, not beating ourselves up about the whole, some days it's going to be easier than others. Some even within an hour there will be a few 5 minutes when it's easier than the next 5 minutes. And it's that again, kindness, just being kind to us. If we're not kind to ourselves to start with,
very true,
we can't be kind to others, and we can't be kind.
Very true. It's all within. If you can't love yourself, how are you going to love anybody else?
And I've talked to our son about, because he has, although very young, significant mental health problems. And it's about not having too high. This isn't about dumbing down. It's simply, again, we were talking the other day about words have got really big. And we just talked about feeling okay.
Mm.
We just would like, we hope, and with help and our love and support and the help and support of the others around to hold hands together. It's about feeling okay.
What does feeling okay look like?
Just like kind of getting up in the morning and it's okay. And
okay,
this bit didn't go so well today. Well, okay, I'm a bit annoyed. It's not about not having the emotions. It's about I'm annoyed by that. We have a range of, we were talking about with him, kind of everything seems to become, I'm either, are you mad at me? Are you really angry? I'm feeling depressed. Instead of, we've lost that range of words again. Maybe we need to get out our dictionaries. We have, oh, that thing, it didn't make me angry. It made me feel crotchety. I was irritated. I was annoyed by it. I feel frustrated. There are so many other fantastic words we could be using. And it's that an okay is, oh, God, it really annoyed me that it went wrong in the studio today when. Okay, it's still an okay day. It's okay. I feel like all right. It's okay.
So we're alive.
Exactly. Sometimes there's too much pressure to feel, oh, we've got to work towards being happy. Happiness comes and we'll have moments of happiness in any given day and that's fine. But nobody is happy all the... That is odd. That would be really, really... Because why were we given all these emotions if not to experience them? We need, again, that balance thing of there will be times when... Sorry, we're going somewhere.
No,
when they are
on.
Out of kilter and when there is a time for one emotion rather than another to become the predominant one, and that is healthy and it is human. And for that to then come down a little and for the others to have space and for them to come up. It's when one becomes too out of kilter or too predominant and you just think, but it's that, it's having, experiencing them all within any 24 hours to a greater or lesser extent.
I love that. I love that. And it's very true because it is hard to be happy every day. But then at the same time, you've got to be grateful every day. You know, that we've opened our eyes. Some people woke up, can't see.
Yeah.
We're alive.
Yeah.
We can breathe. We're not in hospital. So I think gratitude does help as well for me. I mean, there's two of us. We will make the world change a little bit.
Can the revolution be at the front?
We will change the world a little bit. But it starts off small. And, you know, even though we're talking about our children, I'm sure a lot of people can resonate with what we're saying. Because there's so many children that's going for educational health plan. You know, there's girls as well that they find it harder because they can cover over their certain suppress the way they feel and they're trying to get educational help and their parents. So we all have to just try and unite together and try and make a way. And like you say, there's nothing to help people, signposts to help people if they've got this or if they've got that or if they've got this. So bottom line is just try and be okay.
Yeah. And accepting the whole... That yes, as those getting to the education healthcare plan stage, the reality is the vast majority of children with special needs, over 70%, are educated in mainstream school. This is not a specialist issue. It is a mainstream being human, being a child thing.
I love that, Claire. I don't know if we should leave it on that note or we should carry on. How long have we got with you, Claire? Because she's a busy bee, this lady. How long
well, you know that you and I could sit here and talk all day, but I probably need a studio back at some time.
Right.
Someone bring in the chocolate cake and a glass of something fizzy. You know, there's a moment of happiness in life.
She loves the champagne, my girl. Right, we're going to close. I'm going to do a part two with Claire because we've got so much to talk about. So much to talk about, and she is an amazing woman. Like you can tell, her vocabulary is on point. She knows what she's talking about. She could be a professional because she's the shit. Am I allowed to say that? Well, I did. She is a good girl. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to close this down now. Is there any other things you'd like to say? Have you got any things that you want people to contact you on or see you doing or anything they can check you out on?
No, because, hey, there you go, there's a shutdown. No, it's just, it's practical. Another part of our life is practical and safeguarding. Okay. And we don't do social media.
Okay.
And I don't feel like I'm particularly missing out.
No, you're not.
There you go. I'm sure there are great benefits and it's great for many, many people. It's fantastic. Again, it's the whole thing. What's right for us and what do we need? And at the moment, we don't. So
she's not on it yet, guys, but she will be. So what I'm going to say for now, I'm going to close it up with the phenomenal Claire and we will have her again on part two to talk about Sen again or businesses and collaborations. So I just want to say thank you for listening, guys, and stay tuned for our part two. Thank you. Bye.